Well, praise him. Hey, welcome to everybody viewing online. Welcome to everybody that's in the building. We so appreciate you being with us. As the news did mention, I just want to kind of reiterate, this service is our heaviest attended service. And so if you do not have children and it fits into your schedule, just prayerfully consider adjusting to the 11 a.m. That'll help us to make room for more families. We would appreciate that. I don't want you to feel pressured or obligated. Just consider it. Does that sound good, everybody? I just want to reiterate that. But hey, Dave and Ruth's story is going to set this series for us up perfectly. One thing that Ruth said was that I believe that we're exactly where God wants us to be. And I paraphrase, but like we're exactly where he wants us to be. Like he knows what he's doing. There's a powerful sovereignty about God. And I think there are points in times in our lives that we kind of get this maybe heightened awareness of that. Would you agree? There are moments where you're like, man, this is not circumstantial. This is not coincidental. This is the move of something bigger than me. And the beauty is that for many of us in this room and for a lot of people, when they start to recognize that, man, that movement, that power, that thing that is going on in my life, when we start to recognize that it is the power of the one true living God, then all of a sudden it becomes very like magnetizing. And then it becomes something where we really can settle into like a deep, restful trust that I don't understand it all, but God, I just believe you have it all under control. That's what I want to talk about over the course of the next 4 weeks with you. We're going to start a series, and we're calling it Decisive Direction, as you can see on the screen behind me if you're in the room. I'm going to tell you where it began, though. I'm going to tell you where it began. It was January of this year. It was 21 days of prayer and fasting. It was day number two. It was night number one. So our 21 days always begins, which by the way, if you're a guest, we do two seasons in our church of 21 days of prayer. So it's not that we only pray 42 days. We just emphasize our focus on that prayer, and we do it corporately for seasons of 21 days of prayer. So that's what I'm referencing. And so we always start that on a Sunday. So day one's always a Sunday, and this is our time together in our prayer time. But then historically, through the evenings, we have these services where we'll meet at 6 p.m. and we'll come together for 1 hour and we'll spend time in prayer. And the way they end is that at the end, whoever the communicator is, somebody will come up and sort of give a bit of an encouragement on how to guide us into our prayer. And then we'll kind of move around and just pray the way we want to for a while. But at the very end, whoever that communicator is will lead us in what we call corporate prayer. So what will happen is that person will begin to pray out loud on the microphone, and the rest of us just begin to agree with them in prayer. So we encourage people, like, raise your voices, man. Use your voice. Just pray out loud and begin to pray. It's a beautiful sound to hear the small roar of people praying in the room. It's very powerful. And so on day two, night one, it was the first night that we had gathered. I was the speaker. I like to lead off those services, and so I was the communicator. And when I came up for corporate prayer, I was standing here, and I came up a little early, and I began to say, "Hey, I just feel like God's put a word in my heart, and I want to share it with you." Well, not to anyone's surprise that knows me, I was struggling to get it out because I'm crying. Like I want to cry right now, just in the memory of it. But I knew, I felt this heavy, heavy sense that like God is trying to say something to our church. And here's what God said. He said, "I have set you in a decisive direction, and nothing that you've been through is wasted." Now, let me just contextualize that, because I just collapsed almost from just the power in it. Our church was not open yet. We had just come off the year 2020 with COVID and the whole thing, and we all remember, right? We're still feeling the effect of that and the way that it's affecting people. I personally was coming out of a very, very sort of struggle, a dark place in my own life and leadership, and was trying to figure out I didn't know how to get my bearings like on where we were. I still don't know who's in our church. Like, I still don't know. I'll talk to people, and I have a friend, she's a friend of mine. We've grown up together, known each other since we were kids, and I just flat out asked her the other day, like, "Do you go to a different church? Because I don't know." She's like, no, we tune in online every week. So welcome. I love you and thanks for being connected. But like, I still don't know. And if you can imagine, I'm trying to learn to navigate our church and all of that. And so it was a difficult time. So when I heard the words that I've set you in a decisive direction and nothing you've been through is wasted, it set my heart free. Like, I can't even tell you. Because if you've ever been a leader, and I mean like to a family, to a company, you know, to yourself, okay, which would make all of you leaders, you sometimes question, like, have I messed this thing up? Like, have I wrecked this whole thing? Did I miss a moment, right? And I think we ask those questions. And so that word has been a repetitive, sustaining word, really for us internally, all year long, decisive direction. And so when we were creatively kicking around the ideas about what God would speak to us, this is what sort of just permeated. It came to the top. Everybody was like, look, I think that's what we should call this series, and I think that's what we should really communicate to the church. And so thank you to all of my team that helps with that kind of stuff. You guys are awesome. But so that's what we're going to talk about, decisive direction. Okay, does that sound good? And so throughout the month, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be unpacking vision for our church for you all month long. Like, I'm going to really start talking about some things because we stand as a church at the crossroads of some pretty cool things. Like, we believe that we have a decisive direction that we're going to take some steps toward. We are sort of standing on weight of some incredible and potential opportunities for our church. And like, there's this myriad of different things going on. And it's like, all right, God, you know what you're doing. And we're really just sort of putting it over into the hands of God, saying, we believe that you've set us into a decisive direction. And so that's kind of the mindset. So I'm going to talk about big church vision holistically for us as a church family. But every week, my hope is to narrow it right down to like vision for you, because you need it. If God's going to do a work in us, that means he has to do a work in you, because this building isn't the church. You are. Okay. We got to remember that. We have to, because there's nothing special. There's nothing holy about this building or this property. It is dirt, it is brick, it is mortar, it is some sheetrock, it's some stuff. What's holy is the body of Christ. It's you. It's the people that fill the church. And so we have to maintain that understanding as a family and recognize that the Spirit of the living God goes where we go. Amen. So I want to get started if you're ready. If you're in the building, you can get some notes out there in the seat backs in front of you, front row. They're underneath your chair. They should be available in the description for those of you tuning in online. But I want to get started. Are you ready? I'm going to talk today. I'm calling the message Mission and Method. Mission and Method. So we're going to start by talking about the mission. Here's what's going to happen. Imagine it like this. I'm going to start at a high altitude, and then I'm just going to work my way down to you. Does that make sense? So I'm going to start at a high level, and I'm going to try to get right down to you and me and make this very, very personal. All right, we're going to start talking about the mission. And so we're going to look at two examples from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the first four books of the New Testament in your Bible. We're going to look at two examples where Jesus gives what is known as the Great Commission. And he's speaking to his disciples like, hey, this is what you're going to do. And he's sort of giving that instruction. Let's go there. We're going to start Mark 16:15. And then he told them, this is Jesus, and this is what he says, go into all the world and do what? Preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. So he's like, every single person needs to hear this message, the hope of Jesus. Go tell them. This is good news. The word gospel means good news. And so he's like, I want you to take the gospel, the good news of me, Jesus, what I have done, I need you to tell everybody. Then in another account in the New Testament, he says this. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That's important, but we won't get into that today. And then he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So, hey, I want you to tell everybody, and then I want you to train them. So don't just tell them, help them. You with me? So I'm now going to show you the mission statement of Church on the Rock, okay? The actual mission statement of our church. It says this, that we exist to reach people. There's the go tell everybody part. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. There's the discipleship part. And so we actually built this right on those two verses. That, okay, Lord, if this is the Great Commission, if this is what you're calling your people to do, then we will purpose ourselves. We will actually create an existence that is built around reaching people. So we think about people. So we think about, like, what are people into and what works? What are people drawn to? What do people connect with? Like, we think about this stuff because, listen, we are committed to the mission. We will never stop proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ in this church, ever. But we just consider the method. So we think all the time, what connects people, what draws people, what matters to people, because we exist to reach them. So we won't stand dogmatically and foolishly on things that aren't working at Church on the Rock. It's not what we do. We will change, we will flex, we will bend, we will modify, we will improve, 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 improve. So we look honestly at ourselves. We ask ourselves tough questions. We invite people in to say honest things that point to blind spots in our church and in our teams and in our organization, because we have a mission to fulfill, and that is to reach people. But we don't just want to connect them. So we're not trying to just be seeker-friendly, but we are trying to be seeker-friendly unapologetically. I don't care what you think about that. He said, go tell everybody. Well, people tend to want to hear stuff they're interested in. And I'm just telling you right now, every single beating heart has a deep longing to know God. And so we find ways to connect people to that reality. We want to reach them. However, we don't just want to tell them. We actually want to help them, disciple them, and actually do life with them. The Bible calls the family of God brothers and sisters, and we actually want to kind of have that whole thing going on where we're doing this together and like to know and to be known. And we're working on that all the time. Okay, here's the interesting thing, though. If you'll notice in the Great Commission, in the words of Jesus, he was very, very clear on the mission. Go tell everybody, go make disciples. And those men would birth the church as we know it today. But I want you to also recognize that he was not clear at all, in fact, on the method. He never said buy properties, build buildings, sing songs, preach messages, he didn't say any of that stuff. He just said, make sure the world knows this message is good. Tell them. And then once they hear and they receive the hope of Jesus, then teach them the things that I've taught you. Get them in my word. Help them to understand what it looks like to walk with Christ and to live with Christ and to let him be the leader of our lives. Let's actually train them to live and look like Jesus. Amen. He never said how. Amen. And so what I want to talk about today is the mission and the method, because the mission, we can't change it. Unapologetically have to follow through with the words of Christ Jesus, go tell the world, and go make disciples. It's the method, though, that we get to choose. We get to, like, how am I going to get that done? Now, holistically, real hot, just quick review, okay? I'm going to show you how we get that done at Church on the Rock. We're going to talk about the method. Amen. All right. This is how we get it done at Church on the Rock, okay? Now, if you were with us last month in our series, this is review. I pray that you memorize these four things, because we want people, come on, say it with me if you know it, we want them to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. This is what we want for people, and the reason that we want this for people is we believe cover to cover, all throughout Scripture, said many different ways in many different places, this is what God wants for people. So we just want to get on board with what he's trying to do. Mission. Okay, here's our method. Okay, the method is we help people know God by doing church services. Now, I know that seems a little crazy to some people, but we draw more people to this than anything else that we do. Therefore, we are very committed to the hope of the gospel being proclaimed in these atmospheres. We have all kinds of church services. We have Wednesday night youth church services. We have Sunday morning. Come on. We have Sunday morning. There you go. Some of our team over there. We have Sunday morning kids services that are going on. We have Sunday morning adult services that are going on. On certain weekends, we have services on Fridays. We'll have them on Saturdays, Sundays, Monday. We'll do it. We don't care. We will do it because we want people to know God, and that's the method in which we use to get it done. Now, how do we help people find freedom? Well, we do life groups because we believe with all of our heart that real life change happens in the context of relationships. I'm not saying that church is bad. I'm not saying it's unhealthy, whatever. I think that a message can impact you. I think it can drive you to change, but relationship will solidify change. It is hard to get away from the brother or the sister that you've gotten real enough with that will hold you accountable and ask you to toe the line. And they're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I know you, brother. How you doing for real? That's life change. That's how we get free from the stuff that ails us and holds us back from progressing in our journey with Christ. This is our method. We want people to discover purpose, so we have a system called All Access. It's not special. It's not ingenious. It's our system. It's our method. So All Access is a process that you can start step one today. It's just three easy steps where you can learn about our church. You can learn about you, and then you can learn how to make a difference in the life of someone else. And so we just simply said that, hey, if you're going to be a part of this church, we would encourage you, go to All Access and help us run our play. Let me say it this way. Help us with our method, because we're trying to fulfill a mission. Are you with me? Because ultimately, we want people to make a difference, and this is why we have a serve team. Because you will never find fulfillment by yourself, on your own, about you and for you. But you can find it on a team of people sacrificially serving others. God built you this way. So at Church on the Rock, there's the mission and there is the method. Are you tracking? Now the question though that I really want to ask, because this is why you're here, the question that I want to ask is, what about you? What about you? Because I think sometimes just people that live in a real world with real challenges, you know? Because it's easy to show up on a Sunday morning with your church family and put on the plastic, fantastic, phony sort of church thing you got going on. You know what I mean? We do it. How you doing this morning? I'm so good. I'm doing great. You're dying inside because you got so much pressure. It's overwhelming you. And you don't really know what to do. You've got decisions that you feel like you have to make, and you don't know which way to go. And you've got real, actual struggles and problems in your real, actual life that when you get out there on a Tuesday afternoon, you don't have all the warm and fuzzies that you might feel on a Sunday morning. Like, this is what I want to help you here. And I feel like there are many, many times that we, okay, followers of Christ Jesus, if that's you, if that's not you, stick around. Because I'm going to give you the opportunity to be one of those in just a few minutes. But I think that there are times that we truly, truly, with all of our hearts, want to do God's will. Like, God, I want to do it. What do you want? What are you saying? What direction do you want me to go? What thing do you want me to do? What method should I be about to fulfill your mission in my own life? And I think that's a real big question. And I think that oftentimes we stagnate and we digress back into fear because we're terrified to do the wrong thing. Is this resonating? Because it's like, God, I want to please you, but I'm afraid to take any step because I don't want to take the wrong step. Okay, so let me take you to the place. This verse, it's like I cannot escape it, and I love it. It is just burning inside of my mind and in my heart, and God is using it so powerfully to speak to me. I figured, man, God, maybe you want this to speak to all of us. So I'm going to take you to a story that we will dig into much more in detail next Sunday. Today, we're just going to bump a portion of it. I'm going to take you to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is a leader, and listen, next week, I'm going to give you all the context, the background. I'll catch you up. But just follow me for today. There's a leader named Joshua. And God is speaking to him, and he's asking the question, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, and may I read it to you the way I hear it? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Like wherever you go. And I think there are times we're like, oh, God, what's my decisive direction? Where should I be going? What do you want from me? And I think we struggle. I'm so like, I just don't want to mess it up. I just don't want to mess it up. Because I'm telling you, listen, I live there. I resonate with you so deeply. Because I seriously think in my mind all the time, like, God, I just don't want to wreck it. I say this all the time. I just don't want to wreck it. I truly want to do it right. I want to do it the way like you want it done. So God, please help me not to wreck it. And I think there are times that God's like, hey, listen, I'm with you wherever you go. And I thought about this. This is just a little a story, analogy that I want to use. Imagine for a moment that it's late summer. You're with your child and you're getting ready. They're about to go off into school. And some of you guys are like, man, I'm so far past. Just go back in time. Some of you guys are like, I don't have no kids. Just pretend for a second. Okay? And it's late summer and you're trying, you got to get backpacks and pencils and, you know, all the things on the list and some clothes and, you know, whatever. And I love shoes, so let's go here. You got to get new shoes for your kid for school. And what happens is you get to the shoe store and you say to your child, you say, okay, you have a budget of $80. Let's just say. I don't know if that's realistic. Just follow me. You have a budget of $80. This is the shoe store. It's all shoes. Wall to wall, floor to ceiling. Nothing in here but shoes. Go get shoes. They go off and they're doing their shopping thing. And then they come back to you like, Dad, I don't know. I don't know. Like, what's up? Should I get these sweet red ones? Or should I get the blue ones? I kind of like these white ones. I don't know about those black ones, but like they won't show dirt as easy and they last a little bit longer. Like, I don't really know what to do. And you're like, bro, whatever shoes you want. I need you to have shoes on your feet. You like those red ones? Let's get those red ones. You want white ones because they're clean and fresh? And it leaves you a little room in the budget for me to buy you some magic erasers and OxyClean. It's my secret. It is my secret. People ask me all the time, if you want white shoes, it's a commitment. That's all I'm going to say. But you're, hey, I don't really care. All I want is you to have shoes on your feet. You get to choose. And listen to me. I just have a feeling that our Father is a better parent than we are. And I honestly believe with all of my heart that there are times that God's like, I'm with you wherever you go. How do you want to do it? What do you want to do? I designed you. You're interested in certain things. You're about certain things. You're good at certain things. Like, let's go. Because I'll be with you wherever it is that you go. The decisive direction is yours to pick. Let's go for it. So two questions that I want you to ask yourself, okay? Two questions, because I think that there are times that we have like the shoe store moment. And then I think that there are times where it's like, I don't want to wear that stuff, you know, but it's like, well, this is what the dress code is. You got to. I know you want shorter shorts. But I'm your dad and you're my daughter, and first of all, heck no, and thank God the school doesn't allow it. We're going to wear these. All right. I have two of those. And so, amen. So sometimes the decisive direction is ours. I'm with you wherever you go. And then other times God's like, hey, this is your decisive direction. Go there. So the question is this. First question I want you to ask, you can write this in the notes or whatever, take a picture with your phone, whatever, you can get it. Do you sense a strong pull in a direction and you can't ignore it? Amen. Like, every commercial on TV makes you think of it. every billboard sign song you hear, every conversation you have, every message, every life group gathering, it's like, oh my goodness, it's all you can hear. You sense God trying to take you somewhere, this overwhelming energetic pull, a direction. It's sometimes something I can't even explain, but it's like, it's all I can hear and feel. This may be the Father setting for you a decisive direction. This is where I want you to go. But God, if I quit this job, how will we make it? Decisive direction. I need you to trust me. But God, if we have another child, I don't know how we would afford it. But it's the time is now. I'm calling you into a decisive direction. And I would imagine that we have experienced this at points in our lives. And people around you might be like, you're going to do what? But it's like something inside of you, you'll regret not doing it more than you would trying it. It's a decisive direction. It's as if God is saying, please just come on, follow me. I'm taking you somewhere. There's something good. I can tell you story after story after story of my own personal life of times that God did this for us. Just unquestionable, God is calling us to do something that feels a little crazy and it feels a little radical. But once we took that obedient step of faith, we saw the power in the hand of God do things that otherwise we couldn't have done. This is a question. This, I believe, is more like the Father is setting your decisive direction. Trust me, let's go. But the other question is, do you stand at a crossroads and feel that you hear nothing? Come on, right? I think we've been there before. I know that I have. In fact, I'm standing there right now, looking at the direction of this church. And I could go left, and I could go right. And I'm like, God, just tell me. I don't care. I'll go left if you say left. I'll go right if you say right. Like, right? Come on. It's definitely resonating with some people. Because you're like, God, I'll do it. Like, I trust you. I'm open. Like, yes. What? And and I feel like these might be the moments that God's like, hey, I'm with you wherever you go. What do you want to do? Which way you want to go? Listen, because you can fulfill the mission if you go left. And you can fulfill the mission if you go right. What's your method? How you want to do this? I can't tell. I've been raising three children now for nearly 20 years. My oldest is married and gone, and our youngest is 12 and in the house, and our son's stuck in the middle. And I'm telling you, there are a bunch of times where I'm just like, I want them to decide something. Like, you choose. You do it. Because there are certain times where I know they need to feel the weight of their decision, good or bad. Yeah. So you saved up $800. Way to go, bud. You thinking about buying a knickknack that costs $250? Cool, man. I don't know, Dad. You think I should do it? I don't know. I'm kind of free. I don't know, bud. It's your money. Now, if I thought that $250 was going to pull him off into a dangerous place and do damage to his life, I would be a good father and I would speak up. And I would decisively direct him into a different path. But there are many times where I'm like, it's yours. You do it. It doesn't matter to me that the impact to me is irrelevant to me. You get to decide. And I just believe that our Heavenly Father oftentimes is like, I wish you would just choose. We got a mission. Let's go. And I truly hope that this is setting some of you free. That maybe, just maybe, it's not a wrong step. Either step is a right step. Either direction is the right direction. Either choice will be good for you. That our Father's like, I'm with you. In fact, I'm with you wherever you go. I have your back. I'm a good Father. I just feel like sometimes this is what our God is saying to us. So I'm going to close here. I'm going to close right here, okay? I'm going to take you back to this great commission, this statement, okay, that we saw out of Matthew. And so Jesus says, Therefore, go and make disciples, right? That's the mission of all the nations. And he gives some directives. There's some things that he encourages us to do. Hey, we're gonna baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're gonna make sure they have the fullness of who I am. We're gonna teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. Like we're gonna raise them up. We're gonna reach them, and they're gonna become fully devoted followers of Christ. This is the mission. But watch what happens. Watch what he says. And be sure of this. I'm with you. Always. Even to the end of the earth. I got you. It's almost as if he said again, I'm with you wherever you go. To the farthest boundary of the earth, I got you. Hey, the mission is clear. The method, it's yours. What do you want to do? So some of you, you're like, well, I could never stand up in front of people and speak like Josh does. Well, that's probably not how God wants you to run your method. Some of you are like, I don't know, I just want to be more behind the scenes. Okay, I bet you it's an indicator of your method because God designed you that way. He put you together that way. Some of you have a deep, burning passion to start that business, to do that thing, to start that nonprofit, to communicate to that friend in the next cubicle at work that's not a colleague, they're a friend, and there's something in you, it's like, oh, I just want, right? Okay. Some of you are feeling the prompting of the Spirit of God to start a group in the spring. Like, it's my time. I've attended groups. It's time. God's calling me to lead a group. Or, man, I've always wished there was a group about, and you can fill the blank in because it's your method. Some of you, the Spirit of God is just putting it on your heart. It's time to take some steps. It's time to engage into your church family. You've been fed in this house. You've been served in this house. Now, maybe it's time for you to serve in this house. Come on, I don't know what it is for you, but here's what I'm saying is that our God has chosen for us a decisive direction, a mission. We're going to tell the whole world about the good news of Jesus, and we're going to train them on how we walk with him. Now, guess what? The method, you decide. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray a couple of prayers today. And the first prayer that I want to pray for you is a prayer of clarity, because perhaps you're here this morning and you're at that crossroad and you've been paralyzed by fear that seems to be keeping you from making a decision and choosing a decisive direction. Maybe you've been overwhelmingly drawn to a step. Either way, the direction is decisive. It's either decisively being set by your Heavenly Father, or you get the joy of decisively setting it for yourself. And so, Father, I pray for every person in our church, whether they are connected in person or online, whether they are in our city or outside of it, Father, I just know that all throughout our walk of life, all throughout this faith journey, as we learn to become sons and daughters of the Most High King, as we learn to be the friend of Jesus and be led by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this message would not just be another sermon on a Sunday, but it would have been the voice of the Lord to some people's situations right now, where some people, Lord God, in this church would know, okay, I've got to be obedient to this overwhelming draw that I feel like God is calling me to, or that they would have the freedom and lose the fear to decide, this will be my decisive direction. And so I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for peace, for freedom, for empowerment, Lord God. No matter how the decisive direction is being communicated by you, that it would be seen, understood, and walked in, I pray, by all of us in this season, in Jesus' name. Now, every head still bowed, please, Every eye still closed. I'm asking you now just to do this out of respect to the people around you. Because here's what I want to ask. I want to ask, are you here today? Are you listening to this message, watching the playback perhaps at any point, and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus? Maybe it was Dave and Ruth's story that captured your attention and said, man, I want God to do in me what he did in them. Maybe it's because you need the counsel and the guidance of our loving Father to help you find a decisive direction, whatever your reason. Maybe you're hopeless and you're lost, and you've tried everything else. No matter your reason, I would love to invite you right now to make a decision to follow Christ Jesus. I want you to know God. And here's what I know, that you cannot know God until you've met Jesus, because Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to my Father except through me. And so in this moment right now, I'm inviting you to do one thing this morning, just one thing. Decide. This will be your decisive direction. I am going to walk with Jesus. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to say a prayer with me. I'm going to lead you. You can just repeat after me. Now, church, those of us in the room, you know how we do it if this is your church family. I ask everybody in this room to say this prayer out loud with me, even if you've said it before, because my hope is that if someone is in here saying it for the first time, that we are joining with them to encourage them and give them the confidence to say this prayer and take this moment seriously. This is their moment, their decisive direction. Here's our prayer. Here we go. Repeat it after me. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that made that decision. Congratulations, congratulations.